Hi folks, welcome to stage 18 of the Tour de France. This was supposed to be a real boring sprinter snooze of a day. It actually turned out to be an awesome finish, actually a really funny finale in my opinion. I'm gonna give it a 9.5 out of 10. The only reason I can't give it a 10 is that if I made my wife watch it on the reminder on the scale, zero is don't turn on at all, 10 is force my wife to watch it. Emily would not understand why the stage is funny, so it's gonna have to go to a 9.5. If you wanna start with 20K to go, you'll get it, but honestly, the humor is just the buildup throughout the entire day. I would watch this start to finish. Okay, we don't really have a sponsor for today's stage, so I'm just gonna do it my own businesses again. Phil's Cookies.com. Phil's Cookies is, a lot of people know me as the cookie guy, but I think there's a common misconception that I bake. I don't know how to bake. Baking is complicated. Phil's Cookies was invented to take the guesswork out of cookie baking. I'm opposed to cookies that have been sitting out at a supermarket all day. I'm definitely opposed to like boxed stale cookies. Those are never gonna be good. And then you go to a coffee shop, those cookies are great. Now we're talking $4 or $5 sometimes. But I'm not a scientist. I can't make my own cookies. I can't do the baking properly. I got a C in chemistry in high school. So with Phil's Cookies, we had a scientist and a chef really. They made up all the mix. They pre-measured everything. It's in a nice little bag. It's a good gift. You can get a subscription. Just get yourself a bag of cookies once a month. So it shows up, you just gotta crack an egg in there, a little bit of water, and then you do all the mixing, you do all the scooping. You can still get to have the fun of baking, but without the risk of effing it up. And of course, the result is a fresh baked, delicious cookie. $1 from each bag goes to Nook and Hungry. We got a lot of fun flavors. Like I said, philscookies.com. You can get a subscription. Check it out. Appreciate it. One thing I forgot to mention in my GC conversation yesterday, Tade has been, he did the Spring Classics, where someone said I pronounced his last name wrong, so I just decided we're on a first name basis now, me and good old buddy Tade. Tade did the Spring Classics, so we had the two best guys in the world. One was preparing all year, doing altitude camps, doing specific races as a buildup for this Tour de France. The other was doing the Spring Classics. He won Flanders, for fuck's sake. That means he's doing super long one-day rides. He's not building a crazy base. He's doing very high-level competition very early in the year. That's not good for kind of the peak arcs that you want to build. And of course, he's risking injury, which happened. So I'm not saying that was a bad move. Super cool of a GC kind of bike racer to jump into those. Awesome that he got to win Flanders. That was a decision that he made to not put that much emphasis on this tour, and he paid for it. And what we have now is Vingegaard is leading the tour by 7.5 minutes. The other thing I didn't mention yesterday, I had the mishap section. I did not mention the car that stalled out on the steep climb earlier on. What am I going to talk about with that? Yeah, that's bad. You shouldn't do that. I don't really have a comment on it, but the result of it was that Thomas Vogler, who was, I guess, on the motorcycle, was fined. That part I thought was really funny. The Tour de France organization, whatever, they looked at the whole situation of riders walking through. They're like, Thomas Vogler, write us a check. I was just cracking up when I read that. Vogler's done the tour a bunch of times. He wore the yellow jersey. He was like a race favorite of France, but somebody in that organization does not like him. Okay, on to stage 18. Again, a sprinter stage on paper, a couple lumps, but 160K, something like that, and pretty much flat. Big news to start the day was that Wout finally went home to his pregnant wife. So he's out. Other sprinters, Cavendish, of course, out. Fabio Jakobsen is no longer in the race. So who's left for the sprint? Of course, Philipsen. And then you've got Groenewegen, Girmay, Mads Pedersen. Still plenty of folks to contest the sprint and make it interesting. They were in the department, that's like a state. They were in the department of the today in France. A-I-N. So it's pronounced Yo, where are you? What department are you in today? What department, I said? Okay, early break today. It went immediately. Casper Asgreen, Victor Campenaerts, and Jonas Abramson from Uno X. And the pack kept it super close, like obnoxiously close, like 45 seconds to a minute all day. That was Alpecin on the front, Jayco for most of it. Shout out to Lawson Craddock was in there a lot. Looked like the sprinters teams were being greedy, not giving it more of a gap, not letting it have more than three dudes. I think the math they were doing, and this isn't the bike racing math today, but the math they were doing was that Campenaerts is actually seven people. So it looked like they had the break controlled, but Victor Campenaerts, former hour record holder, absolute beast. So I think Alpecin realized if they let that gap out, getting it back was going to be tough. And with Philipsen already winning four field sprint stages, they weren't going to get a ton of help from other teams. Campenaerts dropped himself off the back of the three-man breakaway to bridge his teammate across. The two guys in the break did not wait for him, by the way. They pressed on. They don't want two guys on the same team in the break together. That's really tough for a four-man move for Lauder to have half of it. So they were pressing on. Campenaerts still took him a minute. He was definitely grumpy about it, but he got himself back to the group. So now it's four with two Lottos in there. Sorry, I'll be more specific with my Lottos. Two Lotto Destinies in there. Lotto Destiny. So this is the funny part. On a stage like today, which is supposed to be boring, all day they're doing the, this break is never going to stick, this break is pointless, or someone's trying to pretend that the break might pull it off, except it's at 50 seconds with 60K to go, and just every fan, every spectator, everyone's just like talking about the doomed breakaway. We're all just rolling our eyes at how ridiculous this thing is. I was 100% sure that I was going to get today like a 0 out of 10, watch the last 500 meters maybe. But that is why we have the bike race. Campanaerts turned himself, a lot of good like praying mantis position from Campanaerts, a lot of awesome suffer faces today. Normally the math that I've told you before, the standard math would be if there's four guys in the breakaway, you put five guys in the front of the pack, and then you're gonna take a minute out of them every 10K. With that math, that means that these guys could have come back anytime they wanted. But it didn't look like the sprinters teams were like lazy or cat and mousing or looking at each other. It seemed like they were really trying all day. They weren't giving that much of a leash. And I think that was the Campanaerts factor. So it got down to like, you know, 2 seconds at the line, but the breakaway stayed. At least three out of the four stayed in the breakaway. Campanaerts did get caught. His teammate stayed clear for second. This is the other part that's funny. All that work, Destiny has two guys in the breakaway. They didn't have time to mess around. To be fair, there was no like attacking and counterattacking in the final K. That were for sure would have doomed the break. So Campanaerts had to commit and hope that his guy would come, and he didn't. So a lot of Destiny, the whole day, has shit on their face when Kasper Asgreen wins the sprint. They do all the work for him, and then he takes care of it. I mean, rightly earned by that dude, but real bummer for a lot of Destiny. So far, the things that are funny today, we have Vogler getting fined for something that was definitely like a lot of people's fault. We had the sprinters teams getting foiled after a day that they definitely had looked at. We had the announcers, spectators, all of us on TV thinking, this is a pointless stage, why am I watching this? And then the breakaway sticks. And all that, real nail biter, edge of your seat, the last kilometer, they're at like 4 seconds, 3 seconds. Are the sprinters gonna swallow them up at the line? And they didn't, it was crazy. But to slam that home, the part that cracks me up is the bike racing math of today is 2,135 kilometers. That's my math. That's how many miles that the sprinters have ridden on climbing stages since their last, or time trials, since their last chance at a stage win. Up and down, gruppetto, sweating, time trial. They hate this stuff. All of that to miss the catch by like 25 meters. Unanswerable questions. What is Mark Cavendish doing right now? Did he watch the stage today? Part of him, obviously, like he wanted to be there. He wanted to break the record. Maybe the stage would have been differently if he had his team on the front. But part of him was also looking at them the last, all those days in the gruppetto, looking at their sprinters and knowing like, that would have sucked. You know, like he's got his feet up somewhere. Maybe he's, you know, got some painkillers for his collarbone, whatever it is. A tiny part of Mark Cavendish is glad that he was not racing today for that brutal nail biter of a spoiler. What are they not saying on TV? They're not telling you just how much drama there was probably going on in the peloton today. For sure, it was very tense. There was the Alpecin wanted help all day. Why should you get help? It's only three guys. It's only four guys. But they can tell it's harder than it should be on the front. And then the breakaway was so close, the dudes were trying to bridge across. That'll be the mishap of the day was Philipsen went over to one point. The green jersey went and kind of just pushed a guy to the side of the road to not give him room to attack. That was shown over and over on TV. You know, I understand like that's a tactic, that's what sprinters have to do, and this guy, you know, everyone's gonna race their own race is the problem. They're not gonna help you win the stage. So I get it, like bullying, that's part of the tactics, kind of pro sports does that, but you don't be a dick on TV. Armchair team director, obviously the sprinters teams missed out today. I'm sure that Jayco would have liked to have that break caught, have a chance at the win, Trek same, but ultimately it was Alpecin's race to lose and they lost it. If I was watching in person today, where would I want to be? On a stage like today, on a flat stage, you go out there, you're standing there for a couple hours, you're standing in the heat, and the racers are flying by. You're seeing them for like 10 seconds total for a couple hours of work. So definitely like a cafe. I would say, actually, put me in one of those rivers. They had some river crossings. Put me in a tube with like a beer, maybe a canoe or something, if you time it so that you see the race go by. There's just not much to see other than like all the cars, all that. It's just a big blur. So put me somewhere comfortable, cool, and maybe wet. Armchair race organizer, no comments on today's stage. I like the move, finding Thomas Vogler. I nominate Thomas Vogler to be the official scapegoat of the Tour de France. Anything weird goes wrong, just find him. Just keep finding him. Find him right into debtor's prison. Send him off to, what is it, Corsica? Other notes, the NBC feed they have the ticker at the top with the current time gaps. At the bottom, they have like here are the best placed Americans. One of them they have is the DNFs of the tour goes through there. And that goes all the way back to like stage two. So if you cut that out, if you dropped out in stage two, if you broke your collarbone, you don't need to have your name shamed on screen for the entire Tour de France. Like we get it. Maybe I understand like even the DNFs of today or the last one, but take out the little shame ticker. One thing I think I forgot to mention a few days ago, Mateo Jorgensen dropped out. He's one of the DNFs. Looked like a hamstring tear from a crash he had a few days before. That puts Movistar down to 4 riders. That team would be staffed up for a full 9 riders. They would have a ton of mechanics, soigneurs. That means that they're sending people home now. They're saying like, yo, we don't need all the mechanics. The massage schedule is super light. We're not going to need that many water bottles in the feed zone. Take the rest of the week off. Just tough time, quiet dinner table on Movistar. Last thing I want to get to, this is going to be kind of a hot take. People are going to be mad at me about this. Good riddance to Wout. This is a guy, yes, he was on the front all week. Yes, he was pulling a lot, but he was also, oh, wait a minute. Oops, I'm in the breakaway on accident. Oops, we have a couple minutes. I'm going to try to win the mountaintop stage. Oh, wait, I'm going for a field sprint today. Oh, crap, Matthew Vanderpool dropped 2 guys on the downhill. Now I'm going for the stage win today. He was on the front. Yes, he was working. He would get caught a couple breakaways. He got caught, and he would do the, definitely he's selling out for Jonas on the climb. That's a little bit of acting. You know, he takes his hard pull, and he drops 5 guys, and he swings over and does the S. Like, okay, I get it. Like, you gave it your all. But there's definitely like a little superstar mentality with him, kind of always looking out for himself. I understand you're a bike racer, you're a competitor, that's what we do. Wout hasn't had the season that he wanted. He won like E3 Saxo, but I think it was 3rd at Roubaix, 4th at Flanders, 3rd at Milan-San Remo. Just not the season he wanted. I think it was obvious he was trying to salvage that at the Tour de France. And you're here for this guy. You're here for the defending champion, and not for yourself. I see you, Wout. Be fair to him, for sure. The team puts a lot of pressure on him to get results. For sure, all spring, they were like, you're not good enough, you're not good enough. What is this, 3rd place? We don't pay you for that. So I think, you know, the teams will do this thing of like, hey, Wout, get bottles, be in the breakaway, get bottles, be in the breakaway. Why didn't you win today? That happens in bike racing. You're only as good as your last result, even if you're someone of that level. If he had been the perfect teammate, if he totally sold out every day, if he hadn't gone for a stage result and had a couple podiums, I'm sure they would appreciate that he did his job very well, but it would also have come, ironically, with a pay cut. All right, so that was fun. That was my second favorite stage of this tour. Shout out to Mike Woods. No one's topping that. Tomorrow we got 173K, flat again. Let's see if they don't screw it up. There might be something to watch. All right, see you then. PhilsCookies.com. Check it out. $1 from each sale goes to No Kid Hungry.